Well, good evening to you. If you were here last Sunday evening, you'll know that we began a new series looking at three words from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Last week the word was? Well done. Now, last week the word was washed. This week the word is sanctified. Just turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6 and we'll just get the context of where these words are coming from, why we're looking at them. And then we're going to begin to explore that word. Now, last week we used our Bibles a lot. And I gave you the option at the start. I said it will really help you if you have a Bible to try and follow along with me. I'll give you the page numbers as we go and we won't go too quickly. Or you can just listen and that's also absolutely fine. But be ready to listen to lots of different Bible verses from all over the Bible. So we'll start on page 1148. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul lists a whole load of things, load of behaviours really, that would rule you out of the kingdom of God. And if you glance your eyes over verses 9 and 10, you'll see some of those things. And then in verse 11, Paul says this, "And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So last week we explored the word washed. What was Paul meaning when he said that the Christians in Corinth, and I think we can then say the Christians in Cheam, when we say we're washed, what does that mean? And hopefully that was a help last week to see just what that means, that we are washed. Well, tonight it's perhaps a more Christianized word. The word washed is ordinary language, isn't it? The word sanctified, well, I guess you've not used that word this week. You might have used the word washed. Certainly would have thought about it. But sanctified, what does the word mean? Well, essentially it means made holy. The first half of the word, sancti, sanctus, means holy. The second half of the word, fide, means made. Paul says, you have been made holy. What's the word holy mean? Well, the word holy means to be set apart, to be different, other than. It's the word that's used of God, which we're going to see in a moment. It captures a whole load of other things as well, though, I think, to be pure, to be good, to be righteous. And Paul says, that's you. You have been sanctified. Well, we're going to do a bit of a journey through the Bible again. Sometimes focusing on the word holy or to be holy. Sometimes seeing the word sanctified or to sanctify. The word holy doesn't appear as often as you think it might in the early chapters of the Bible. Gets a mention in creation with the seventh day. The seventh day was made holy, set apart, different, other than the rest of the days. Moses, in front of the burning bush, you remember what God says to him? You're on holy ground, to take his sandals off. But it's not really until we get into the book of Exodus and we start to get the instructions for the tabernacle that the word holy or the idea of holiness really comes into view. And then in particular in the book of Leviticus. Remember we looked at this a while ago, we worked our way through this book. Well, holiness is mentioned a lot in Leviticus. So we're going to start our journey there in Leviticus chapter 11. So flick with me right back to near the beginning of your Bibles. And God, speaking to his people, says this. Perhaps we'll read from verse 44. It's in the midst of some instructions about what they were allowed to eat or not eat, touch or not touch. And verse 44, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves along the ground. And then particularly verse 45, I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore be holy, because I am holy. It's a command from God to his people. God is holy. His command to his people is that they are to be holy too. They are to be set apart. They are to be different, other than, pure, good, righteous, holy. Now flick on with me just a few pages to chapter 19. How are they to be holy? Chapter 19, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And then what follows is a list of commands. So verse 3, each of you must respect your mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make metal gods for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. You see, holiness is something that comes about by what you do. Holiness is generated by activity. It's not a state for you in a locked room with no one else around. Holiness is a life to be lived. To be holy was to obey God, to follow his commands. Now, quick jump. We're going to come back to Leviticus, so keep a finger in Leviticus. But jump with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Just what I want to do is just shake us a little bit, because here we are in Leviticus, Old Testament, long time ago, God speaking to his people ages ago, surely irrelevant, nothing to do with us. Well, we shouldn't be thinking that way, but maybe we start to drift in that direction. Well, listen to Peter, New Testament, speaking to Christians, speaking to us. What does Peter say? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Command comes to us. We are to be holy. How does that make you feel? How have you done this week in holiness points? High score? Average? There is no average when it comes to holiness. You either are holy or you aren't. And here's a command to us. Be holy. Be holy. Well, back to Leviticus with me. And chapter 22. Right at the end of chapter 22, I'll read from verse 31. God says this to these people. Keep my commands and follow them. I am the Lord. Do not profane my holy name. For I must be acknowledged as holy by the Israelites. I am the Lord who made you holy and who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. Again, the stress is on holiness. The people are to be holy, but we get something else in this. God can make his people holy. I am the Lord who has made you holy. Let me read it in, this is in the ESV, a different version. Verse 31, so you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord, and you shall not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified among the people of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. Just a hint that though it's a command for us to do something to be holy, there's also something that God can do to make us holy. Now that gives us hope, doesn't it? Maybe it's not all down to us. Maybe the impossible is possible. Well, let's jump right into the middle of our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 36. God is speaking about the future, something he's going to do for his people. His people have not followed his commands, not been holy as he is holy. God has promised judgment on them. But here in Ezekiel also, he offers hope. There's a new way coming. There's a way in which they're going to be able to be holy. So I'll read from verse 24, Ezekiel 36. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Is that encouraging? You see, on our own and with our own devices, with our own will, with our own sinful hearts, we can't do it. But God says, okay, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you my spirit. You will be enabled to desire to keep my ways, to follow my commands, to obey me. You will be careful to keep my laws. Now we're going to jump to the New Testament. That's a sort of trailer, if you like, in the Old Testament of what's possible in the New. How is God going to make his people holy? How's his Spirit going to come to live in them? What's his Spirit called? The Holy Spirit. So we get an idea, don't we, of what the Holy Spirit is going to do when he comes to dwell in God's people. Now, let's go. Perhaps we'll jump straight to Hebrews. Let's go there first of all. Hebrews. It's going to make some connections between the Old Testament sacrificial system. That was how God made his people holy in the Old Testament. Well, how does that apply to us? Again, this will bring back memories of working through Leviticus. Let's start in Hebrews chapter 9. I'll start from verse 13. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. That's the Old Testament sacrifice. Those sacrifices made you outwardly clean, acceptable to God. Verse 14, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? Christ's sacrifice applied to us cleanses us, enables us to serve God. Jump on to chapter 10, verse 8. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, here I am, I've come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will we have been made holy, through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. How are we made holy? Through the sacrifice of Jesus. But notice something that just opens up in this verse. Verse 14. By one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made perfect, those who are being made holy. Notice you have both suddenly in view. You've been declared holy, and you're being made holy. We'll come back to that in a moment. Just turn on to chapter 13. Just to drum it in so we make sure we're clear, how are we made holy? Verse 12, chapter 13. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. How are we made holy? Through the sacrifice of Jesus. In a moment we're going to share bread and wine. We're going to say, I'm trusting in this sacrifice of Jesus. By sharing this meal, we're saying that sacrifice applies to me. By sharing in this meal, we're saying I am made holy by the work of Jesus. I am sanctified. Now, we don't often think that way necessarily, do we, when we share communion with each other? But that's what we're saying. I'm sanctified. I'm made holy. Now remember the tension that verse opened up. I'm made holy, I'm declared holy, but I'm also being made holy. There's a work going on still in me. Just going to try and tease that out a bit more before we finish. So jump back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You still with me? Yeah? Dust. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, famous verse, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. If anyone is in Christ, common phrase through the New Testament, to be in Christ means to be trusting in Christ, to be saved by the blood of Christ, to be hoping in Christ, to be believing in Christ, in his death and resurrection for you. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Something's changed when you become a Christian. Let's go to Titus chapter 2 from verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Now the same idea is in here. There's a change that takes place. You become a Christian. You've been changed. You've been purified. You're now a people that belong to Jesus, who are eager to do what is good. But there's also a process that's described here. The grace of God that's appeared, verse 11, teaches us, verse 12, to say no to ungodliness. We need to be taught. Think of school. You don't go to school because you already know everything. You go to school to learn, to be taught. And that's what this is saying here. We need to learn to say no to ungodliness, to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives. There's progress to be made. We're to change over time. Now, how is that particularly going to happen? Well, last passage we're going to look at is Galatians chapter 5. Remember the Ezekiel passage? What did we need if we were going to be holy to live God's way? We needed a new heart, we needed God's Spirit to live in us. What's that Spirit called? The Holy Spirit. Verse 16, Galatians chapter 5, page 1172. Sorry, I forgot to say the page number. 1172. Verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Here's a tension we should all feel in our lives. Do you ever feel like a good Christian? Do you ever feel like being a Christian is hard? Do you ever feel that, you know, if people here tonight saw what you were really like in the week, your quiet times that slipped by and didn't happen, the way you spoke to that person in your house, the things you did in the workplace, what you watched on your TV or read in a book and enjoyed, and all the niggly things that we know actually we shouldn't do, but we've done. There's a tension. What am I going to live with? Am I going to live with the old nature, the old desires? Or am I going to live with the Spirit that's now in me and enables me to live God's way, to say no to ungodliness? So I say, says Paul, live by the Spirit. Verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious. This is the old way, my old nature, my sinful nature. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Be holy, because I am holy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Now, these are well-known verses, aren't they, for the Christian? We know. If we've been a Christian a while, we know the fruit of the Spirit. We've heard talks on the fruit of the Spirit. We could probably say them off by heart, a bit like I just did, and one of the words has been changed in the New International Version that we're using. But Paul's saying, this should be us. This should be what your life is now like. You have the capability now to live like this. If you're a Christian, God's Spirit is in you. This is what your life ought to look like. And remember, holiness, going back to the beginning, is not what we're like, shut away in a room, away from anybody else. Holiness is a life lived. What am I like with other people? Rubbing shoulders with other people in real life situations. We can now be holy. We're called to be holy. We're to live in step with the Spirit. Now that's a fight. That's a fight we can easily lose. Yeah, you can enter a day not thinking about that fight and you'll just go with your sinful desires because they're still there. Or it's a fight we can win going into the day with God's help, aware that this battle's going on within me of these desires to live the old way or to live the new way. To go with my old self or to go with the Holy Spirit of God. You know, and when we enter a day in that way, if we've gone into the day and we've prayed in the morning, we've spent a bit of time in God's Word, those flashpoints will come in the ordinary day when we have to make a decision. Are we going to go this way or that way? And the more we're in step with the Spirit, the more we're starting the day in prayer and Bible reading, the more we're just aware of that moment. Which way are we going to go? Well, we're now able to go the Spirit's way. He's within us, prompting us. We have the choice to go his way. But we need to keep asking for his help. to go his way. You have been sanctified, says Paul. That's true as a title. You've been made holy. But it's also a journey you're on as a Christian, being sanctified. None of us will ever make it in this life. None of us will ever be perfect in this life. We'll always still have faults, areas where we get it wrong. But one day, we will be changed. We'll be perfected. We will be like Jesus. I said Galatians was going to be our last verse, didn't I? I'm going to go to one more. Come with me to 1 John. Page 1226. And this will lead us into communion together. Page 1226. 1 John chapter 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. We're thinking this morning of the day when Jesus returns. On that day, we will be like him, holy, sanctified, pure. All who have this hope in him purify themselves. Live now what we will be then. Start living now, and we will live for eternity. Why don't we use communion as a recommitment to that end? This week, the start of the week, are we going to live a holy life this week? In those small moments, in our homes, in the workplace, amongst friends, on our own, in a group, we're going to keep in step with the Spirit, growing in the fruit of the Spirit. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Let's have a moment of quiet, and then I'll lead us in a prayer before we share bread and wine together.